Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for January the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property in the traditions of our founding fathers. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Sonny Perdue is in the news, Kurt.
Well, that's a sunny situation.
Did you hear about this?
Purdue University?
No, Kurt. Sonny Perdue is going to be
That's right. He's a former governor of...
Of Agriculture now, Kurt.
Yeah, but he's a former governor of, was it Mississippi?
I don't think it was Mississippi, but I could be wrong.
I'll have to look him up. Anyway.
Anyway, time will tell, but Sonny Perdue is the nominee, Kurt. What do you think of that?
The sun shining and
do you like
Sonny
that?
Perdue. Well, I mean, I don't remember, you know, a whole lot, but I do think that name is really cool. I mean, you know, when you're talking about a news story and you can talk about Sonny Perdue, I mean, that's just kind of fun, right? You know, I mean, you gotta admit that's a nice thing to do. Sonny, S-O-N-N-Y, I'm sure it is, and let me get, there he is, Sonny Perdue, P-E-R-D-U-E. Donald Trump taps former Georgia governor.
Georgia governor, that's right. I didn't think it was Mississippi.
Sorry, yeah. I knew he was a southerner.
Georgia governor, yep. A lot of people are saying, who on the earth is Sonny Perdue? Washington Post and others asking that question. Mm-hmm. And all I'm telling you is I think it's pretty good news, Kurt.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Purdue, but
I bet he's milked a goat, Sam.
Purdue for Agriculture Secretary.
That's what I'm thinking.
Rounding out the cabinet level picks for the Donald, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's got his first team up there. Well, yeah, he's going to have to work on the backups now, I guess.
What do you think, Kurt? Is that a good pick in your mind?
Well, I mean, I know some would say, well, he's the governor. He was the 81st governor of Georgia from 2003 to 2011. I guess I would trust the good folks of Georgia to select an agriculture secretary. Now, I haven't seen any reports, though, about him having as a goal to eliminate the agriculture department, and that's, of course, you know, the choices that we would have, that would be one of their required items, you know.
Well, one of the things that I hope we can do is if we get the agriculture secretary and the secretary of interior and stuff like that, and we can get some people that understand the West a little bit and the South, maybe we can make a game change in terms of how the federal government views property.
Imagine that.
Well, our whole goal is to protect life, liberty, and property. And so,
well, they want to protect it by having all of it. I mean, you know, and that would be, of course, protection. If you get the federal government to have all the property, then everything will be fine. But they say Perdue's nomination, according to Fox News, was made official in a statement from Trump. Yep. Mm-hmm. Just this morning, he was expected to be introduced at a press conference. That's later today in Sonny Perdue. They say, this is what Trump said in the statement, is going to accomplish great things as Secretary of Agriculture. He said, from growing up on a farm to being governor of a big agriculture state, he has spent his whole life understanding and solving the challenges our farmers face. And he's going to deliver big results for all Americans who earn their living off the land. Holy cow, Sam. Maybe that's agriculture. Perdue, 70 years old, by the way, they say would be the first Southerner in the post in more than two decades. Yeah. The last three agriculture secretaries have been from Iowa, North Dakota, and Nebraska. Well, it's about time they had a Southerner, I guess. Mr. Trump went on in the... Perdue said in a statement, he said, beginning as a simple Georgia farm boy, making sure Americans who make their living in the agriculture industry are thriving is near and dear to my heart. And I'm going to champion the concerns of American agriculture and work tirelessly to solve the issues facing our farm families in this new role. Maybe Sonny Perdue doesn't know, though, that if he's 70 years old, he's supposed to just basically be out to pasture. Well, I guess that's an agriculture joke. But he's not supposed to participate in life anymore, Sam. I mean, if he's after, what is it, 60, 65, something like that. Anyway, that's the bottom line with Sonny Perdue. I guess, you know, the new, well, I mean, he'll have some real grilling. Maybe that's an agriculture joke, too. But up on Washington, D.C., they're going to be grilling him for sure. I guess they say Sonny poured millions of state dollars into Go Fish. Now, that's a game, though, isn't it? No, I guess they say it's a program that aimed to get this part of the story, Sam. Lure bass fishing tournaments to the state. I think that's a little play on words on the whole fishing thing, you know. Anyway, they say the ex-governor, whose full name is George Irvin Perdue III, maybe that's why they called him Sonny, was born in rural Perry, Georgia. Yeah, he even attended the University of Georgia. And guess what, Sam? He played football. Yeah. I guess they say he was a walk-on, maybe even run-on every so often. But anyway, he earned a doctorate in veterinary medicine. I mean, the guy is a vet, and maybe not the... Well, no, I guess they say he followed a stint in the Air Force, so he's a vet times two. I guess, is that a vet squared? But anyway, he returned to Georgia, and he settled in Bon Air, a city of about 14,000 people. So that's your update on Sonny Perdue, the most recent presidential pick from, well, the incoming... soon-to-be president, Donald J. Trump. Wow. Mr. Sonny Perdue, Secretary of Agriculture. I don't know what else to say about him, Sam. Do you have any suggestions for me? Recommendations, etc.? You know, let's see. I'm trying to look and see what else is big news. Oh, wait, I got some big news for you if you really want some.
Hold on, stick with the topic
okay,
here
stay
for
with
a second.
Sonny.
So,
okay.
So, well, so Sonny's, you know,
it's kind of a.
I hope it works out well. Okay?
Kind of a bright subject, you know, a sunny subject.
But, yeah.
But anyway.
Unless he doesn't stand for the property rights of the American people, then it would be a cloudy Perdue going on.
Good point.
Now, you know who Zoe Saldana is, Kurt?
Zoe Saldana. Are those two Z's?
She's an actress, Kurt.
So that would be like ZZ Top?
No, this is Saldana.
Oh.
Anyway, okay. Well, anyway, actress Zoe Saldana.
Okay, okay.
Is, well, she's a big-time liberal.
Oh, I
but it's Saldana, not Saldana.
Loser, you know.
No, she's actually better than most, Kurt, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
She's standing up and saying that liberals should learn from Donald Trump.
Liberals should learn.
Yeah.
LSL.
She said, we got cocky. We got out of control. We didn't do things right. And Donald taught us what to do. And we need to pay attention to that part of the American population. We've got a lot to learn from them, and we ought to do it. And
so
now all the liberals are attacking her.
Trying to get some votes is what she means.
Well, all I'm telling you is she's at least smart enough to say, hey.
Yeah.
Liberals ought to look to Donald Trump for some guidance about how to handle things, and that we've been out of touch.
Yeah, imagine, you know, seeing what the voter, you know, thinks and actually learning from them. Well, that sounds kind of crazy, Sam.
I thought it was phenomenal.
Yeah,
Kurt.
Imagine that. Zoe Saldana.
We need more of that. Now, Kurt, do you remember who Jim Sensenbrenner is?
Sensenbrenner. Oh,
yeah, Sensenbrenner,
James,
I guess.
Sensenbrenner, former senator, probably.
Yes.
If I remember right, you know. I just don't remember where he's from or whatever. I can look him up.
He's a Republican congressman. And anyway, he's got something to say, Kurt. That's kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah? What's he got to say? Mr.
Well,
James Sensenbrenner.
He's proposed a bill called the ATF Elimination Act, sir.
Now, where do I sign? Oh, man. James Sensenbrenner with the ATF Elimination Act. All right. That's
yeah, normally I can hold my microphone with... there's a microphone, boom, that holds my mic, and I've got two hands to type. Right now I got to set down my microphone to type.
Well,
with both
Sir
hands
James and... Edwards is here now. He
Excellent.
Could just hold your
Brother
mic.
Brother James.
You know,
all right.
You know, and then you just be
I cannot have him standing there holding my mic. What do we think this is?
Oh, I think that would be tremendous.
I couldn't have anybody do that for me. I'd appreciate it. Now, if I didn't have any hands, I'd be grateful for the friendship and support. But when I'm more than capable of doing that myself. Anyway, all I'm telling you is that was Congress, I'm sorry, was Con- Wisconsin Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner wants to abolish the ATF, and he put a bill in the hopper to get that done, Kurt. I think that's all right. Anyway, Kurt's jumping off. James Edwards jumping on. The good James Edwards, well-known talk show host and author in his own right, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, my friend. Just in time for the break, why don't we take you on right after?
That sounds great, Sam.
Actually, we've got a guest right after. We'll take you on right after that. How's that?
Yeah, listen, I'm a clown in the circus.
And not only that, it is a circus live from D.C., ladies and gentlemen. We've joined the circus, and now we're part of it all. What do we do now? Well, what we do is we stand with the supreme law of the land, with our God, with our country, and, hey, things will get better from there. Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds on your favorite talk station.
My sister was smoking, and I watched her. She asked me if I wanted some, and I said sure, and she taught me how to smoke, and that was my first experience.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
Both my parents smoke. I mean, seeing them smoke, watching them, thinking, well, they do it, it's not going to hurt me.
Smoking sends mixed messages to your children.
They just recently found out. I just told my mom, so she was shocked, very shocked.
I think parents have a big influence on whether or not their children smoke, because even if the parent says that they don't agree with it, it really doesn't hold a lot of water. I mean, you can say, I don't agree with you smoking, but when you light up 5 minutes later, it doesn't hold a lot of water.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. All kinds of hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. Just 24 hours about, a little over actually, till Donald Trump becomes the next president of the free world. Incredible news. By the way, if you want to get raw honey delivered directly to your door, get a hold of Kurt. He can tell you more. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 and say, I'd like to do business with the good guys, and I'd like to get raw honey delivered to my door. He'll take great care of you. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or smile and dial 801-669-2211. Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, J. Michael Waller. He's got a Ph.D. He's a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy. He's a journalist. He's an author. SecurityFreedom.org is their website. And Dr. Waller brings expertise in terrorism, intelligence, the former Soviet Union, and the Americas. And he's a genuine nice guy sitting right beside me in the broadcast radio row from Washington, D.C. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Good to be with you.
Now, catch me up. You know, we've had so many things happen under Barack Obama that, I mean, under the guise of peace, he's really kind of provoked a lot of nations, ran around kind of crazy, in my humble opinion. And Donald Trump has a completely different approach. You saw that battle, really, on the debate stage between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Donald says, you know what, I'm not really interested in being the world's police. I'm going to have a strong military, no doubt about that, but I'm going to back away. I'm going to work on some diplomatic relations and be kind to one another, and we're going to start there. And everybody says, you're nuts. And he's saying, I'll be friends with Russia. And they say, how dare you? Are you in bed with Russia? And he says, no, but I'm not going to be enemies with them either. I'll talk to just about anybody. I think leading with a diplomatic policy and a humble foreign policy and having a strong military, I mean, that's a good start. Do you think that things will change? And do you think it'll be better or worse under Donald Trump?
Well, it can't get much worse, first of all. But second, every incoming president says, I want to have better relations with the world. So it's nothing unusual. It's just that Donald Trump says it, so people go bananas.
How come they don't do it, though? I mean, they say they want to do it, but they don't really make those efforts, it doesn't seem to me.
Well, you do have to remember Hillary's reset button with Putin, and when Obama told the Russian prime minister, hey, just wait until my second term, and then I can sell out more to you, so to speak. So they do that. They just don't want it to be seen.
Understood. Do you think things will get a lot better or be a lot different under Donald Trump, or will he continue the same general policies?
They'll be a lot different. Whether or not they'll be better remains to be seen, but we're not going to have this endless wars that are continuing to go on without any results in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere. And you've got what new Secretary of Defense General Mattis calls a war of annihilation against ISIS.
I think that we need to be very careful. And you know, George Washington, in my humble opinion, the greatest general ever known in the history of the world. That's just my humble opinion. But, you know, he had this belief that we ought to avoid foreign entanglements, that we don't need to fund foreign nations, that we ought to stay out of their affairs and kind of keep a diplomatic relationship open, work with anybody, be kind to everybody, but not have favorites and not get in the middle of it all. I know the CIA has documented a principle called blowback as well, where they say, you know what, we meddle in the affairs of other nations. They get ticked off because we violate their sovereignty. Do you think there's something to a humble foreign policy?
There is something to a humble foreign policy, but first we have to get us out of the messes that we're in.
Good point.
And that means...
Because we're what, in over 130 nations, militarily speaking?
We have a presence in about 110, 130, depends on how you want to define it. But a lot.
Yeah, like some places were still there peacefully, and it's hard to know if you should count that. We should probably bring them home, but they would say we've got to be there for stability reasons. So it's a sliding scale of why we're there. But we're in so many nations, it's beyond imagination, and we don't have the money. We can't afford it. We're $20-plus trillion in debt, right?
Well, and not only that, but why is it in our interests to be in so many places?
Well, and is it counterproductive, even though we think we have an interest there? Is it almost the blowback principle? Is it almost where they just get angry and they're just sick of us being there?
Yeah, they're sick of us being there, and then they end up using us for their own purposes so that now they feel strong and they can provoke conflicts against their neighbors that they were never able to provoke before. And now that they have our seeming backing, they feel freer to do that. So it's a very slippery slope for us. My view is, if you're going to get involved, but win the war. Don't just sit there and keep fighting and bleeding us to death.
Well, and that comes with responsibility in Congress, where if we need to be in a war, we should declare it. We should lay out our guidelines, our intentions. We'll get in, get the job done, come home. It would be a declared war. We've kind of went away from that, and the Congress has simply let the president take their responsibility, and that way they don't have any political backlash for their actions or their funding or their decisions. They're just like, well, we can't leave the troops a-hanging. Well, we agree, but it gets them off the hook. That's one problem. What do you think of Barack Obama sending a big bunch of money to, what, Iraq?
To Iran.
To the
Republic of Iran Central Bank. And he did it going around Congress.
Now, isn't that a criminal act?
It is a criminal act.
Should he go to jail?
Yes. Anybody who does that good, imagine.
Now, we do support due process, folks, so we got to vet it and do it properly. But he should be impeached and go to jail over this.
He should. If he gave the instructions to do it and to deceive Congress and to deceive the public, then he committed a crime. And regardless of what he's doing right now with pardoning all these spies and everybody else, if you commit a crime, you have to be tried for it and then be punished for it.
And that's why, I'm not just saying, hey, jail or anything else. I'm saying, look, we need due process. But right now it looks like, hey, there was an attempt to circumvent the separation of powers in the United States, and that's unacceptable.
Yeah, and to hide it even. But imagine loading pallets by forklift full of American and foreign currency in order to sneak it into Iran.
And they actually had to send it to another country and transfer it to a different currency even, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, they bought all this European currency and other currencies, maybe Swiss francs, we don't know the other ones, so that it wouldn't all be in U.S. dollars. And some of the shipments might have been in gold bullion.
Wow. We don't even know if there's gold in Fort Knox, but they're gold bullion sending it to the Iranians. And then the question becomes, does that literally fund the terrorists then? I mean, it seems like we train them, we fund them, and we arm them, and then we kind of wonder why things are going wrong.
Yeah, terrorists and nuclear weapons. So, sure, that money has to go to a lot of different places.
Yeah, a friend with money is a friend indeed, they say, but yet short years later, they're not so friendly friends anymore, are they?
The Iranian regime has never been our friends. Why we're propping it up is just an obscenity.
How does that morph into ISIS then? Does it really end up, a lot of that money and training and weaponry, et cetera, end up in the hands of ISIS?
Well, no, because the Iranian Revolutionary Guard are fighting ISIS because they're backing the Syrian
regime.
Yeah,
but if somebody captures big stores of weapons we brought over there, or big bunches of cash, and somehow it's cut by the other side, then we might be funding the wrong guys.
Oh, okay, we're leaping around to factions. I get you. Yeah, there are so many different weird factions in this ISIS fight that Obama actually has us allied with Al-Qaeda because Al-Qaeda is also fighting ISIS. This is how weird it is.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I jump around like that on purpose. I don't mean to lead you around, but what I'm saying is I'm not sure we even know who the good guys are, do we?
No, there are no good guys, really. If you look at
it. So if we're taking sides, though, and we're backing a side that we say there are no good guys, then how does that all work?
Because the Obama administration did have a good side. They have an alliance with the Muslim Brotherhood, which has the same end goal as Al-Qaeda and ISIS. They just want to do it differently. So it's those guys who are the moderate.
Yeah, it's like the
Muslims.
Bloods and the Crips, and we're going to pick, MS-13.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. What? How does that work? Isn't the words of George Washington that much more poignant then when we think about it and say, you know what? Maybe we ought to not be in the middle of all that.
Yeah, and not have foreign entanglements? Sure. Now, if we're a trading nation, we have to defend our trading routes. And
of course.
And we keep our commerce open. That's all in the Constitution.
That's
why the Constitution specifically identifies a Navy individually, because we need to have a Navy like that. And our founders had to get us involved in North Africa against the Barbary pirates so that they wouldn't be taking Americans as hostages. So you have to have that. It's just a question of when do you stop? And it seems like very few people in politics really want us to stop. And it's not like there's a strategy that they have. They just want to keep on going and keep on going. And whenever something occurs someplace, our first impulse is to use lethal force.
It seems like we got a lot of work ahead of us, ladies and gentlemen. The question is, will Donald Trump really make that difference? He talks big, and I appreciate it, and I commend him. But the question really becomes, will he really get that done, ladies and gentlemen? We're going to have to really find out. Dr. Waller will discuss this with us in seconds. J. Michael Waller with us, ladies and gentlemen, PhD, senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy, securityfreedom.org, in seconds, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Trump's first formal news conference as president-elect was a contentious affair and lost in the furor generated by salacious accusations in an unsourced dossier. Was the fact that the president-elect called the conference to explain how he would avoid any conflict of interest as president with his vast international business holdings. This includes placing his empire in a trust controlled by his oldest sons, but he would not divest himself of his business holdings. Trump also proposed turning over to the United States Treasury any profits received at his hotels from foreign government clients. An ethics officer and, separately, a chief compliance counsel will be appointed at the Trump Organization to watch its operations and ensure that it is not receiving special terms, payment, or favors, as a result of its ties to Mr. Trump, summarized the New York Times. Critics in the media have been pushing for Trump to divest himself of all his businesses, which no law requires, and which would have disastrous tax consequences for Trump. The law only requires that a government official not take advantage of his position for monetary gain, and the burden of proof is upon the government. Many media critics and ethics analysts have accused Trump of violating the Emoluments Clause of the United States Constitution. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's WorldAffairsBrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, just to clarify, the website is securefreedom.org. Securefreedom.org. Our guest, J. Michael Waller. He's a PhD, senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy. He's a journalist, he's an author, and he brings expertise in terrorism intelligence, dealing with the former Soviet Union and the United States and more. We're talking about Donald Trump, and will he really change the game? How do we make sure we don't pick the bad guys? How do we support George Washington's humble foreign policy idea? How do we prevent from being the world's cop? You know, we're already the world's cop. We're already in 130-plus nations, militarily speaking. How do we back out of that in a responsible way? Number one, can Donald do it? And number two, what do you think he should do to accomplish the task, sir?
Well, since we're already in the situation, it's going to take a long time to back ourselves out because
yes,
once
it is.
We've set up a system like this, you can't just leave. Everything will collapse and the mess will get
And we're not recommending just leaving, by the way.
Yeah. So it's going to be very long in coming. The problem Donald Trump is having right now is you notice how few appointments he's made to national security positions. He's only put in the very top people. He doesn't have people underneath him. And part of that is the Washington political establishment here doesn't stand for what the types of things he stands for. They're a very interventionist establishment here on defense and national security. So he's having to be very, very careful about who he picks and where to find these folks.
Do they exist? Can he find them?
They do exist. He can find them. But there's a battle right now because the establishment's fighting back to protect what it sees as theirs, and the big lobbies are pushing really hard to make sure that the taxpayer dollars still keep coming to them. So it's a really hard fight and a pitched battle, and
no
actually
question.
A knife fight going on in the Trump Tower right now about who to put where.
Do you think he'll get it done?
He'll get it done. It's just going to take him more time than he thought.
Without question, the establishment's very entrenched, very hard to deal with. The hawkish folks certainly have a lot of money at their disposal as well. And that's part of the problem is how do you back off that money? But if we can reduce, some of our spending, if we can cut off a lot of the foreign aid that we've got, there's money to take care of business at home. And that's one of the areas that the mainstream press has been very critical. Donald, how are you going to pay for it all? And my response is you pare back federal aid around the world. You pare back our expenses big time. That's where the money's going to come from, by the way. Nevertheless, what does Donald need to do to accomplish it? No doubt, pick the right people. We agree with that. But I think decreasing foreign aid is one of the greatest keys to success.
It's a big key to success, and for not just the reason you say about saving taxpayer dollars, but what it does, foreign aid fuels corruption around the world anyway. Very little of it goes to the people who need help, and there are plenty of private charities that can do that very efficiently. So if you want to help people in need, you certainly can. But what we've seen our foreign aid do during the Cold War was important because it was preventing countries from going into the Soviet orbit. But nowadays, it's really not, and you have promoting LGBT stuff as a main priority of our foreign aid programs, or propping up corrupt central banks around the world is a main priority of our multilateral foreign aid. So these are just bad things that undermine our interests that have to go, regardless of what a waste of our dollars it is. Then you have the waste of our dollars, which is a separate and equally bad issue.
What do you think he needs to do besides cut foreign aid? I've got several suggestions, but what do you think might make the biggest difference? He wants to get out of the United Nations. He wants to back away from some of these international agreements and trade deals. He believes he can renegotiate them better. Do you think he'll be able to do it? Will he have success there?
Well, he can, because if you look at the way some of these deals were structured, these were real just sort of diplomatic weenies, sort of people who are obvious pushovers who were leading these fights to, not even fights, they were leading these efforts to get these deals, and they made it clear by their body language and their actions that they would do anything and they would accommodate anybody just to get the deal through. When the United States of America is acting like that, then you can, we're putting a kick me sign on us, and that's precisely what we did. Trump's not that kind of guy, so he's going to go back and he's going to renegotiate these deals. They're going to be very different, and they're going to have the establishment screaming, but it's not like he's going to think them through poorly. He's going to think them through like a businessman and say, what's in it for us?
And one of the big keys is who he surrounds himself with. That's going to really make a difference, because if you get qualified security people that know what they're talking about, that's going to make one of the biggest differences. I wonder, are you on the hot list to be picked?
Not to my knowledge.
All right, well, somebody ought to find you somewhere and make a difference. We need a humble foreign policy. We need to reduce expenditures. We need to make sure we're not the world's cop and we don't tamper in the affairs of other nations. That blowback principle that the CIA documented is real. And I think the more we can have some diplomatic relations, as you wisely say, protect our trade routes and other things, but yet not meddle in the affairs of other nations, I think that'll go a long way to having some respect around the world again.
Well, it would. And you do have to protect people against real bad elements, and you do have real alliances for legitimate reasons. But really, when you think of some of the allies and coalition partners we have, I mean, why are we defending Saudi Arabia?
That's
one of those loathsome regimes on earth, and it's one of the biggest funders of jihadist violence, yet we're committed to defending them with the lives of our own people.
Well, the sooner we have energy independence, the sooner we can let go of that lie, too. But I submit to you that there's ways to accomplish it. We can do it. Are there any other things in your mind that Donald needs to do that you believe would ensure success?
Yes, he needs to continue to keep everyone in the world guessing about what he's going to do. Because once the United States becomes unpredictable in a strong way, then you're not going to let the Chinese and the Russians and the jihadis and others push us around.
I think that's a critical component. In fact, even in the debates, Donald was asked very clearly, what will you do in this situation? He said, I'm not telling you. That would be the stupidest thing I could do. Even though they criticized him for it, he was spot on.
Exactly. It's like we literally announced to the world what our next moves are going to be. You don't see that in business. That's insane.
No question. Hey, here's my playbook. Come on. It's serious. It's a deadly game of reality, folks. We cannot back away from this overnight. It will take a while to extract ourselves from a lot of these things, but it can be done. It must be done, and we're here to help get it done. Ladies and gentlemen, J. Michael Waller, our guest. Securefreedom.org is the website, right?
Right.
Godspeed, sir. Thanks so much.
Nice to be with you.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live, hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. Always at your fingertips. James Edwards has been driving all day and all night and everything else just to get here. And join us on Liberty Roundtable Live from Washington, D.C. Brother Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, my friend. Flip on your mic.
There you go,
brother.
I knew I had to do this, Sam, from one radio road to another, from Cleveland to Washington. We've been all over the place in the last calendar year, 12 months, and it's great to be with you here on the eve of the inauguration.
What do you think, man? A lot of things going on. You're going to be at the inauguration tomorrow. We're going to see that thing live and in person up front and close. And did you hear that we're going to have Clarence Thomas swear Mike Pence in using Ronald Reagan's Bible?
I did hear that.
Wow.
I did hear that. And I heard that, of course, right here on Liberty Roundtable yesterday and also in the first hour today driving up. I did appreciate that a little bit more than the Lincoln Bible that you also heard about yesterday. Now, of course, I have to take you to task on that after the show, Sam, after the show, because we can't waste precious minutes relitigating the war. But look, we'll get it all straightened out in the commercial.
I'll tell you what, there's so much news to cover at some of these events. It's hard to keep a finger on the pulse of all that's happening.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I picked up on.
Yeah.
That you may want to be aware of. Of course, I learned, along with all of your other listeners yesterday, that you had had dinner at the Trump International
Hotel.
I sure
did, and you missed it, brother.
I'm sorry about that. But
you
tomorrow
could have
night,
avoided all the vegetables and just had killer steak.
And I certainly would have, and I heard that steak y'all had last night was very good, too. But I heard that Alec Baldwin will be protesting outside of the Trump Hotel tomorrow.
Who will?
So, Alec Baldwin.
Are you going to hang out with Alec?
Well, we hung out with his brother, Stephen, at the RNC. So,
are you going to go out and confront Alec?
I don't know what my schedule looks like. I don't know. What do you think? Should we do that?
You better bring a shield.
I don't guess it will be just Alec there. I'm sure it's going to be some stage managed thing if Hollywood A-listers coming in town to rain on the parade. But he'll be there. I picked that up on.
All right. Interesting stuff. That's for sure. Now, I guess they say Trump would replace Obamacare with Trump Care. Do you think that's accurate?
Well, I guess I'd have to see what Trump Care will do. But my situation from private conversation, Sam. So you know that my thoughts on Obamacare and the way that it's protected actual real life middle American taxpayers has not been very good, to say the least. So anything would be an improvement from what I've got right now, which is Jack.
Well, now what they're saying, though, is Donald's saying that somehow he'll unveil details shortly, but that it's going to be some kind of a single-payer system. I don't know. I mean, I don't see a scenario that I like for that.
Well, I don't think that's what we
signed
were
up
led
for.
To believe, right?
That's
at least during the campaign. But, again, I guess we'll have to wait and see what the proposal is, and then we can make a more informed decision or offer more informed commentary on how we feel about it. But I can tell you it would be impossible for him to do worse than what we've got now, at least from my perspective. Now, if you're not working and you're getting free insurance, that's a pretty good deal for you. But if you are a sole breadwinner of a family of four making a modest income, no favors have been done you.
I've mentioned that what we need to do is have the insurance companies get out of the middle. The more you can deal with your health care provider, your doctor, your whatever, individually, so that you can account for the costs and understand it, the more they can give costs up front like any other business in the world does, so that you can decide if it's something you want to purchase or use or do, or make decisions based on reality and finances. That's the first start to decreasing costs. James Edward with us back in seconds live, Liberty Roundtable live from...
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells. But as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Wow, time flies when you're having fun, ladies and gentlemen. Sam, Kurt, James Edwards, all in the roundtable, having a fantastic time from Washington, D.C. Right after this, we're going to go check out an event with our congressman. And after that, we're going to have an incredible dinner. We've got all kinds of things to attend. The inauguration's tomorrow. We'll be broadcasting live from our cell phones and taking care of the inauguration, etc., tomorrow. So that ought to be interesting, to say the least. They're going to be having Bibles there. So I'm telling you, it's getting crazy, ladies and gentlemen. And they're talking about God. They're talking about swearing in. You just got to love it.
Well, I'll tell you, Sam, this is the moment, with this being the last segment before tomorrow's show, which you'll be on site, and of course I'll be there with you, and from the cell phones and all. This is a very historic moment to be here, to actually be here in downtown Washington, D.C., to be attending the inauguration tomorrow. We are absolutely, one way or another, no doubt about it, witnessing history and standing here, boots on the ground, as history takes place around us. It's an awesome sight.
And Kurt Crosby's the color guy. See? He's going to be giving you narrative and commentary and jokes along the way. Sam and James will be doing the play-by-play. It'll be a phenomenal opportunity.
Okay, all right. I get the
what are you talking about?
I get it now. Yeah.
What do you mean? You were all scared. You were thinking we were just busting out racist and stuff, and I don't know how to work that in for you, but, you know, that's what they usually think of us, too,
well,
all
look,
the time,
see,
no matter
look,
what
see,
we do.
Kurt's wearing orange. He doesn't stick to black and white. Kurt's always in orange. And so,
well, then he's on the fence. You know? All right. By the way, I want to just kind of quickly tell everybody about this neat development that's happening. There's all kinds of bills being introduced in the government, and I'm usually not for them. It's like a time of horror for me, but this time it's actually pretty good. Alabama Congressman Mike Rogers has introduced a new bill. They call it H.R. 193 to end membership in the United Nations. Headline says renewed drive to exit the United Nations. The news is brought to us by our buddies Tom DeWeese at AmericanPolicy.org. What do you think of that plan and that bill? 193, H.R. 193, Mike Rogers, Alabama. Let's get out of the United Nations.
That sounds like a very good thing indeed. Anything from Tom DeWeese is probably going to be pretty good. And that actually leads me to something else to consider. Now, you'll remember immediately after Trump had his upset victory over Hillary, that he had released or re-released his stated first 100 days. And we said if he could accomplish a fraction of that, a tenth of that, and in 8 years, it would put him as probably the greatest president in American history.
Not counting General George Washington,
well,
but I'm with you.
But if you go with that, if he could carry out that, of course. But it would put him in, let's just say, we'll be liberal and say top five.
And in modern times, it's for sure.
Well, in modern times, I mean, he'd be the best in at least 100 years. But Does the first 100 days start tomorrow? Does it start on Monday? Do you give him the weekend? And do you think that he's going
to
knock out?
I expect him to roll out some executive orders on Friday and a couple of them on Saturday, and he can do quite a bit before we even wake up with the weekend done. Come on, let's get her done.
But look, that first 100 days, you got to admit, was ambitious. If he could,
I'll give him Sundays off out of that 100 days, but I'm not giving off Saturdays and Fridays, man. They can steal freedom on those days. We can get it back. Come on.
How much of that first 100-day initiative do you think he'll actually get done? Not in the first 100 days, but period. Because it all was pretty good.
In the first 100 days, I'm expecting probably 10 to 20%. I wish for more, but I really have my hesitations. I think he'll get close to 50% done of what he talks about in some form or another. Now, the debate might be in what form, and does it look like out of the other end of the meat grinder what you thought it was in the beginning. Time will tell that. But I'm telling you that I think he'll get quite a bit of it done, and I'll tell you why. There's a lot of people putting a lot of good things together, and this Alabama congressman is just one example. Audit the Fed, gaining ground in both the House and the Senate. Very positive news. The idea that most Republicans do want out of Obamacare in some fashion, the idea that we're working on cutting foreign aid and across the board, people are realizing that's a good idea. There's a lot of support for a lot of good things. The question is there's enough? And will they be able to filibuster and Shanghai the whole process, or will we be able to move forward? They have greater majorities now than ever before. The question is, what will happen? What do you think will get done on day one? Anything?
I would like to see him get writer's cramp, repealing a lot of these executive orders we've seen in the last 8 years. I'd like to see him in a cast on Monday.
Let's go. All right. Now, I'm going to call Friday and Saturday one day. And I'll tell you why. Because it's the day before Sunday is Saturday. I don't want him working on Sunday. I'll give him a break. He should spend time with his family and with his God. And he should pray hard and get guidance from the Lord on what he ought to do come Monday. And I'm going to call Friday because it's really a shortened day. He's got so many things to do.
He's got a parade. He's got to get sworn in.
But I might actually, right after I do the swearing in, bust out an executive order or two just for the mainstream press to chew on.
I'd love that.
And stuff. And if he can do that, and then Saturday, I'm going to call it one long work day before the Sabbath and then before you kick it off on Monday. Get done what you need to know the first day. Pop in a few things just to make the mainstream press go berserk. Then get on your knees before God and start Monday.
There you go. Unless he's partying too hard at the inaugural balls tomorrow night.
Don't do it. Don't do it at all. Don't party hard. Do water. Not fire water.
Well, you know, Donald doesn't drink fire water.
I know he doesn't. So, you know what? He might not party too hard. I'm just telling you, that's what I think that he ought to do, though. Bust out something so intense that the mainstream press just chews on it for days while you recoup.
I would love for him to fire a very hard opening salvo. I'd like to him to have a shot across the bow.
Did you hear about this guy abolishing the ATF?
If it was in the last little bit before I got here, I was probably parking.
All right.
Or getting pulled over by one of Virginia's finest.
There's a Wisconsin congressman, Jim Sensenbrenner, who wants to abolish the ATF, and he put a bill together to get that done. It's in the hopper now. So I'm saying, what if Donald just found something like that and said, look, I hereby abolish this by executive order? Boom.
All of that would be great, and there's a lot of people out there that will have good ideas, and there's a lot he can do. You know, this is the first time in my lifetime, I guess you could say. I mean, I'm not even going to cut Reagan too much slack on that, even though I was born in '80. That we wish a president would have more authority. Unfortunately, those checks
and balances.
I don't
wish for more authority, but I do think he can use his authority to get rid of anything unconstitutional right out of the gate, though.
He needs to be liberal with the executive orders or the repeals of the executive orders.
And then he needs to finish, after he gets crazy with them, abolishing executive orders for anything outside of his own department or his own branch of government. In other words, anything that's not executive in nature should be off the table anyway.
Well, one thing's for sure, the commentary of your show, my show, this network will change after tomorrow. It's not going to be speculation anymore. We'll be commentating on and offering opinion and analysis on what Donald Trump does as president of the United States. We have not been able to say that yet. That will happen tomorrow at about noon.
Yes, it will, and we'll be covering it live, play-by-play, just for you. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on the air since the days of 9-11. We were on the air in 9-11. We were on the air years before that. We covered the Clinton administration right on through. We've been at it for a long time, and our commentary will continue. It will become more facts-based, as James Edwards wisely mentions. Instead of hoping for things, talking about what he ought to do, what he could do, now it's what he will do, and the reality will be watching hard. I'm going to hold the Congress more responsible than Donald Trump. Not that I don't think Donald Trump has some promises to keep. He does. But I'm telling you that if he gets the support for the Republican Congress for the right things, we'll get somewhere fast. And if he doesn't get support, it'll be a very problematic stalemate.
And I'll tell you something, Sam. The voice of this network will be very important over the course of the Trump administration, because we were, of course, a network that supported him in a lot of ways during his campaign, got him a lot of publicity.
Yeah, they like to pretend we're nobody, but attack us like we're bigger than CNN. So where do you go
exactly
from there?
Exactly right. I mean, we were in the news every week last year in the biggest publications and programs.
By the way, for good reason, too.
Well, of course. But what I'm saying is we supported Trump, but at the same time, we're not acolytes. We're not water boys for Trump. We will be loyal opposition if we need to be. So we come from a perspective that I think is unique. We're not the the so-called establishment media that's just going to, of course, whatever he does is going to be wrong no matter what it is. We come from people that were supportive of Trump, but at the same time aren't going to give him a free pass. So I think that's going to be unique in media going forward.
It's all about the principles, my friend. We don't swing Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. We're none of that. We just stand by the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. We walk straight down constitutional lane. We're not stupid enough and stuck on stupid to get hit by traffic in both directions, but we're rolling down the middle of the road. We're not left. We're not right. We're just simply standing for God, family, and country.
We may be a little right.
Well, we're always right. We're just not right. See. Well, see, the thing is, though, we're pro-peace. We're anti-war. That's a liberal idea, right? Supposedly.
Well, but no, not necessarily. George Washington, no.
I know, but George Washington was the liberal of his day.
Well, maybe it's all relative.
The founding fathers were liberals. The conservatives wanted to hang out with good old King George. They didn't want to do anything radical, crazy.
Okay.
So you got these mixed up words, and that's why I say I don't go for any of that stuff. I'm not a right winger. I'm not a left winger. I use the Constitution as my guide. I believe it should be the political religion of our nation. It is the supreme law. The checks and balances have created the most brilliant country that has created more freedom for more people in the history of the world than anywhere and anybody, and I stand by that. Say, but it's the greatest country on America, and we're going to help Donald make it great again.
All right, we won't split hairs. I think by their definition, you would be conservative, at least.
By the founders, I'd be a liberal like George Washington.
Well, I guess a few things have changed since then. But
oh, yeah. In fact, almost every word. Gay used to mean you were going to run around and be happy and stuff.
Well, this is another thing. I mean, you could have put me in any of us in 1950s America would have been very moderate, I guess. But today, I guess we're radical for having, you know, raise families and churches and things like that. So anyway, but that's neither here nor there. We need to be talking in the 1 minute we have remaining about where you're going to be tomorrow, Sam. It's a pretty privileged position.
I'm going to be in the free world's capital. I'm going to be standing there hoping and praying that we truly return to the principles that made America great.
The seat of the empire.
If we do that and turn to our God and turn to those principles, we shall have success, James. If we don't, we simply won't.
Well, we got a chance to push reset. We have a chance, I think, for something new and fresh and different. For the first time in my life, it's not an insider. So it starts tomorrow, and we'll see. And the commentary will continue on this very program tomorrow, live from the inauguration. Folks, you don't want to miss that show.
I'm telling you right now, we're going to be on our cell phones because there's no greater way to connect. This thing's outside in the middle of the freezing cold. But, buddy, we're going to bundle up and get it done just for you, ladies and gentlemen. Eyes and ears all trained on the action. Reporting it to you live with incredible commentary and updates as things unfold. We shall do it right here on Liberty Roundtable Live tomorrow. Hang out for that. Tell all your friends. We will have it on the archives. It will be at libertyroundtable.com. It will be on libertynewsradio.com. It will be on libertynewsdaily.com with some news story coverages as well, not to mention the Roku player live and on demand and more. So 2 hours in the can. Tell all your friends. It's coming up. And we're appreciative of you. Without you, we wouldn't even be here. So tell all your friends, financially support us if you would. We'd be grateful. For Sam, Kurt, and James Edwards and the whole crew, Liberty News Media, and more, thanks so much. We declare this nation shall endure.